talking about the meat of cast now.
Okay, Dallin, the last paragraph.
We're going to speak now about kas. Again, there's different madrigas, and he's starting now from the worst madriga. There are some angry people that on them, but the Chazal say, Kolakoyes, anybody who gets angry, it's as if he was Oved Avodah Zarah. This is someone who gets angry about anything that happens against his ratzon, and he becomes filled with fury, until his heart is no longer with him, he's not thinking clearly anymore, and his eitzah, his ability to give advice, to think clearly, is destroyed. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu, a few times the Chumash says that Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, whatever that means. It's hard to imagine what that means. But right away, the what followed right afterwards is that he forgot halachas. The halachas of Geulei Akam, certain halachas about going to Melchama and purifying the Kalim that they capture in Melchama, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know them. Also by the Parsha and Parsha Shemini, when they were bringing karbanos to the Binyan HaMishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu investigated what they did, and they burned the carbon that he thought that they shouldn't. And Chazal say on that it was because he got angry. And Kol HaKoyes, if he's a chacham, daita is mistaleket mimenu. His das goes away from him. A person like this can destroy a oilam malay if he would be able to. The only thing stopping an angry person from destroying the entire world is the fact that he can't physically do it. But otherwise he would just indiscriminately destroy. His seichel is not shaylet at him at all. The husar tam mamish, he's without any reason, that any power of reasoning completely. Mamish kechol hachayas haturfa, it's like wild animals. The ol of Nemar on him, it says, toiref nafshay ba'apoy. Someone who's toiref, like an animal that pounces on people. Someone that in his anger is toiref. He jumps on people. Halaman chotei ozav oretz. This end of the pasuk, I'm not sure how the Mesillas Yesharim learns of talking about an angry person. If you take a look, I just looked at it in Eoy. It's a little bit hard to figure out the hemshuch of the pasuk, so I'm going to leave it for now. Kal vade laver kol minei averus shabayilem im chamatzei tivieyu lohem. And it's easy for him to be over all averus of the world if his anger will bring him to them. Ki kvar ein loy meinia acher elo kaisoi. The only thing motivating, a meinia is like a motivator. The only thing motivating him is his anger. Ve'el asher yivieyu yelech. Wherever his anger becomes his master. Wherever the anger tells him to do, to go, that's where he goes. Asher yivieyu. Wherever his anger leads him, he goes. He becomes Pasha the Shaita. It's an interesting thing. There's a Gemara somewhere about a chassid that I think got angry at his wife. And it says that, I think it was Erev Rosh Hashanah, I think it says Erev Rosh Hashanah. It says, I think it's in Richard Rubin's in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. It says that he went and he was long the Beis HaKvaros. He went and he slept in the Beis HaKvaros. So what does the Beis HaKvaros have to do with getting angry? So they say there's a pasuk that says, "Ki rega be'apoy chayim b'rtzaynei." Hashem's anger is in a moment. His anger is momentary because his will is really chayim. Right? Hashem is only momentary anger because his will is chayim. So they understand from this that anger is the opposite of chayim. Anger is misa. Anger is death. In what way is anger death? It's pashut. Where does a person's das come from? Does an animal have das? An animal doesn't have das. Where does a person's das come from? From his neshama. Hashem blew a neshama into a person, he became a bar das. When a person gets angry, what happens? His das goes out from him. That's death. His neshama leaves him. It's true, he's left like an animal. He has enough nefesh left in him that he's like an animal. But what's uniquely human about him, which is his das, left him. He's dead. He's dead. Namash a misa. Kas is a misa. Pashat a misa. The Sfarim say even more than that. They bring from the Chazal that when a person gets angry, his neshama leaves him completely. His neshama leaves him, and really he should die. Really, a person gets angry should die. The only thing is that there's a ruach hatumah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends in, or that the teva ha'olam is that a ruach hatumah goes into a person and keeps the person alive. So if you think about it, someone who gets angry, what he did was is that he chased out Hashem, because the neshama is a part of Hashem. He chased out Hashem, and he replaced Hashem with a strange ruach, with a ruach hatumah. That's the depth of what we say called akayis is ki'ilu ayved avodah zarah. Just like an Ovid Avodah Zarah takes the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and replaces him with something else, so to someone who gets angry, takes the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that's inside of him, takes his neshama, and replaces him with something else. Kol HaKoyis is Ki'ilu Ovid Avodah Zarah. Ruach HaTumah inside a person. Bamis, after a person finishes being angry, you should have to wash the Tilsi Yadayim. He had a Ruach HaTumah inside of him. I'm not saying that he has to, but Chayr would be right. You should have to wash the Tilsi Yadayim. There's an interesting thing. We're going to see soon that I'm not sure that the Tilsi Yadayim is masked, what I'm about to say. It's different days. The Mishnah in Avos says different stages about a person who gets angry. The Mishnah says that there's a someone who we'll see soon. Noyach lichos and kasha lirchos. It's easy to get him angry and it's hard to calm him down. It's kasha lichos, it's hard to get him angry, but kasha lirchos, and it's hard to calm him down. And then there's the best of all. The best of all is that it's hard to get him angry and it's easy to calm him down. That's the best type of kais. So the shaila is that all the mepharshim ask on the Mishnah, why doesn't it say that the best is someone who doesn't get angry? Why doesn't it say that? The best of all is someone who doesn't get angry. What? So this is a big issue. So sometimes some mepharshim say that it's talking about the roiv. I think it's very pretty saying most people get angry. It's talking about the roiv. Maybe it'll be in a generation, one person, or in history, a few handful of people that never get angry. So the Mishnah's not talking about that. The Mishnah's talking about from the realm of what people are shaykh to. That's the highest madrega. What? Are you sure about that? Shouldn't get it? You sure? Some people say, what? Okay. So then you're on the best end of a bad meter. Some people say that there are times you're supposed to get angry. Pinchas. The Kanois Kenasi Asher B'Soichem. Kanois, there's times to get angry. What is that? Yeah, so? Someone's sitting at davening, and so another person comes into the Beis Medrash, and it's Mevaz of the Beis Medrash. Or someone comes in and says, "Mevazer, Rachman al-Aflam, Mevazer, Sefer Torah." You feel angry? You're not allowed to feel that anger? Oh, that's a very, very good point. That's a very, very good point. That's why it's mutter, that type of kass. That's why that type of kass is mutter. There's one of the mefarshim that says that the pshat is that it's absolutely impossible for a human being to never get angry. This takes what Penny said another step further. It's absolutely humanly impossible for a human being to never get angry. That's what it says. I think the Mesil Zishan will see soon. I think the Mesil Zishan might not be masking for this. The Mesil Zishan brings the Mishnah, we'll see later on, he brings this Mishnah, and he says, "And Hillel Azok, he never got angry." So it could be the Mesil Zishan himself is chaylik on this. But that's what one of the Mepharshim says. It's impossible never to get angry. I was just thinking, it's not an interesting thing. Just an interesting thing. The Mesil Zishan says that someone who gets angry is mamish like a wild animal. He's a wild animal. So I think we've learned already not to think that the Mesil Zishan is not throwing out Michelle like we throw out Michelle. He picks his Michelle very, very carefully. And it's an interesting thing. When did animals become wild? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the bear, was he a wild animal? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a lion, was he a wild animal? When did animals become wild? So you look in next week's parasha, not this coming week, but the week after. Parasha's Bechukaisai. 2 weeks, Bechukaisai is together. Look at Parasha's Bechukaisai. And there's a Ramban in the beginning of Parasha's Bechukaisai on the word that says that when if Klal Yisrael will serve their B'Hashem properly, Behishbati Chayarom in Haoretz, I will get rid of wild animals from the land. But the Ramban says that it doesn't mean that he'll get rid of the wild animals. It means he'll get the wild out of the animals. He'll calm down. Behishbati Chayarom in Haoretz. He'll get the wild out of the animals. And the Ramban says that before the Chait of Adam Arishan, animals weren't wild. It was part of the Kilkel that came into the world because of Adam's Chait that animals became wild animals. Now, if you follow that line of reasoning, what that means is that the wildness of animals is a result of the Gzeiras Misa. The result, at the same time that Adam did his chait and he became a Bar Misa, at the same time animals became wild animals. And we just said that Kas is a certain type of Misa. Right? Kas is a certain type of Misa. Daita is Mistalekas, we meant. It's a certain type of Misa. It could be, maybe, that the reason why the Mepharshim say that it's impossible for a human being to never get angry is just like it's impossible for a human being to live forever. Because it's part of the Xerus Misa. Could be. Kass is one of those midas that we said before that are chutz migidrei asecha v'achlachma. It doesn't take that much to realize that. A person gets angry. I mean, kass is destroyed more maybe than any midah ra. Kass is really a graduation from gaiva to a certain extent. Most balei kass are also balei gaiva. Most. Because most kass is, how could you treat me that way? It's the most kass. That's what you say to me. That's what you do to me. That's what, not all, but that's where most kass comes from. So most kass is really a graduation of gaiva, but the midah of kass itself is a midah that can cause, and you don't need to be ma'ayin a lot to realize it, and you don't need to delve into the chachma of Musar for a very long time to understand it. Kass is a midah that kafib shutei ruins lives, ruins families, ruins businesses, ruins. It's like a suicide bomber, just like wrecks and mangles everything that comes in its path. Kass is it's a destruction. It's a churban. Someone who's a Baal Kass will do and say things that he would never, ever, ever dream of doing or saying. Never. He'll say things that that afterwards he'll spend weeks and months afterwards trying to get his feet out of his mouth. Trying to get himself out of the situations he got himself into. It's mamash a poison, Kass. so then it's a stupid midah. So then we just shouldn't get angry anymore. Stupid midah. Oh, and not just that. Let me before more than that. Nobody looks like a bigger fool than someone who's angry. You ever in a situation, if the person's angry at you, it's one thing. If you ever had the opportunity, unfortunate circumstance, to be sitting calmly on the side watching someone lose their temper, there's nothing that looks more garua, that's more of a bizayin, that's more, it's mamash like a not a tsura sada. Mamash, a person wearing clothing suddenly becomes an animal. That's kas. That's a good question. Obviously doesn't mean that he loses his mind. The funny thing, Revolvin, his mashal, in one place Revolvin writes a lot about Musar. And he writes about getting involved in the Chacham of Musar and how to develop oneself in Musar and so on and so forth, Perek after Perek. And then he has a certain page there in the second Chelek, Alei Shur, called Li Yais Adam. The person has to be a mensch. And he says that people make a mistake and they think that when they're working on midas, like a person, let's say, is a tremendous, and he didn't muscle that he uses his kas. A person is tremendous kaisen. He says it's not called that you're a baal musar. If you work on yourself very hard, and this is his muscle, he says, that instead of banging on the table and throwing things and screaming like a behemoth gasa, now you only bang on the table, throw things, and scream like a behemoth daka. He says, that's not like I steiged in Musar. He just wants to take away the gaiva, the false feeling of being involved in Musar that comes. It's the first step of a person's learning Musar. He has to be a mensch. And it could be that is the way to work on it. We'll talk about that. It could be it is the way to work on kas, to work on it step by step. But anyway, I'm not even getting into what he wants to get into. My point is that just when he writes that mashal, it just, you know, imamish, you realize someone who gets angry, imamish becomes a behemoth. Imamish becomes a wild animal. A person will do anything. A shaver kalem b'chamasei. Someone breaks kalem out of anger. Someone takes something that's his. Someone can take something that belongs to him. You have to realize how crazy it is. It's worse than a drunk person. Someone could take something valuable that belongs to himself and destroy it for no reason because he's angry at a third person. It's an amazing thing. It's an absolutely amazing thing. Mama, you become completely crazy. A man possessed. You become completely crazy. You're mama possessed, and you are possessed. It's an amazing thing. No wonder it's Kilu Avad Avay Dezara. The Pashur Shah, we said last time, Kilu Avad Avay Dezara, is that you might do, who knows what you'll do. You want to do Avad Avay Dezara, you'll be Avad Avay Dezara. There's nothing stopping you. You'll do anything. It's a scary thing. It's mama frightening. It's a pachad. It's mama a pachad. So there's a lot of aces. There's a sefer that was written. It's a very strong sefer. It's a very strong sefer. You really have to have a stomach for the sefer. But there's a sefer that's written in the times of the Chafetz Chaim called Erech HaPayim. It's written, I think, by a chassidusha about the midah of anger, how to prevent it, what to do about it. And it's parts of the sefer are mamish tough, very demanding. But I just want to speak out, if you have a few minutes before we go on with Taz, just to speak out a few bunch of practical aces. What to do, not how to get out of being angry. This is something else. It's a mamish, a tough thing. Once a person loses his temper, it's very, very hard to shut it off. A person can get angry and inside himself he could be screaming at himself, calm down, what are you getting so angry about? And he just doesn't listen to himself. He's out of control, he lost control. It's like someone who's drunk, if anybody's ever had the experience of being shikr, knows that you could be telling yourself inside to do one thing and doing something else. It's not a steer at all. No steer at all. The same thing is true of someone who's angry. Someone who's angry could be saying, why am I screaming at this person? At the same time, he's screaming, he's out of control. So the real eitz of working on kas is not learning how to calm down when you become a chaya. It's very hard. It's very hard for a chaya to calm down. It's learning how to get yourself into a situation and into a pattern that you know how to predict when you're getting angry. That you know how to predict when you're getting angry, and you know what to tell yourself and how to be mechazik yourself before you fall into the cycle of katz. That's what's necessary. We talked about this a few months ago, and I think maybe this is a place to start. And we talked about this in a different context. I'm going to bring it up what we spoke about then, and then I'll translate it for Kass. A couple of months ago, we talked about teaching kids to beat up what hurts them. If you remember, we spoke about when a kid bangs into a table, so a lot of parents, they tell the kid, bad table, bad table. When the kid bangs, falls on the sidewalk, they say, bad sidewalk. They patch the sidewalk. Bad sidewalk. And basically what that teaches the kid is that if someone hurts you, you should hit them back and say that they're bad. That's basically the chinuch. And it's a terrible thing. But that's what we spoke about then. But let's just take it another level, because we do exactly the same thing. We as adults, we're not going to say anything, I'm embarrassing myself over here, but we as adults, we do exactly the same thing. A person, let's just say a person goes shopping, and he goes to the store, and he gets to the store, and he realizes that he left the shopping list at home. And he gets into the store, and he starts shopping, and his wagon, the wheels are twisted there. So the whole time he's shopping, he's trying to edge the wagon straight again. So you're moving, and you're already like annoyed. You don't remember what to buy, and you're pushing the wagon this way the whole time. And you get to the checkout counter, and you forgot your Stop and Shop card. You ask the lady for her Stop and Shop card, and then you realize you forgot your credit card. So you have to leave the stuff in the store. And you have to run back to your car, to run home, to get your credit card, to come back, to pay the shopping. So you run to the store, and then you realize, and this may sound funny, but this happens from time to time. Everyone has a bad day. And you lock your keys in the car. These days like that happen. So there's two types of people. One type of person just starts laughing. And sometimes things just, so many things can go wrong in a day, and it's just funny. But some people will get so angry then, not sad, not depressed, they'll get angry. And who are they angry at? What are they angry at? They'll bang the car, like as if they bang it, then the door will open. They'll bang the car, almost like a little kid, bad sidewalk, because they tripped on the sidewalk. We do the same thing. You get a kick. What? Who are you angry at? What are you angry at? It's Nourish guys. What are you angry at? It's an amazing thing. Let's put that on a shelf for a minute. Let's say another story. Just a theoretical story. If you can't identify with these stories, then lucky for you. Another story. You have a roommate, let's say, in a dormitory. And you ask your roommate that when he's doing his laundry, he should please not leave his clothing to dry in your bed. That's what you ask him. And inevitably, every time he does his laundry, you find his shirts on your bed. So every time, good-naturedly, you're a little annoyed, you take his shirts and you put them back on his bed, or you ask him to move them. But one day, you came to Second Seder, let's say, and your charusa didn't show up. And you tried to get to Second Seder, you were very exhausted. And you went to Shir. Of course, you wouldn't miss Shir. You went to Shir. You didn't understand what was flying because you already missed half a Second Seder because your charusa didn't come. And you're starving. And you went downstairs for supper. And it was a food that you don't like. And you start walking back to the dorm and it starts raining. And you don't have an umbrella. And you say, of course, you're going to get it right any second because a lot of guys have to say that drive by on the way to the apartments. But somehow it seems like everyone went the other way that day. And you're walking alone and it's pouring rain and you're starving and tired. And what? The dog. Right. You're crossing, every time you cross the street, you discover a new dog. And then you get to the dorm. and then you find the guy's shirts on your bed. Then you find the guy's shirts on your bed. So now already you like, you just, this is really what you needed. This is what you've been waiting for. You really needed a carbon right now. Like, this carbon came at exactly the right time. And then you take the shirts and you wrinkle them into a ball and you throw them on the floor and you give the guy a piece of your mind and you storm out. But this happens all the time. And always, all the time, you're able to just pick them up and put them on the other bed. Again, there could be there are some people that can't identify with this, but I think that most people could think of a couple of bad days. Who are you angry at? You're angry at this guy? This guy is the guy you're angry at? Who are you angry at? You're angry, again, it's an amazing thing. It's a feeling of anger, and you're angry at no one. Who are you angry at? Let's try to define. Who are you angry at? It's not even like correct to say that you're angry at Hashem. Like, you're just angry. It's an amazing thing. It's a chiddush to me. It's possible to be angry at nobody. Is the feeling then, is the feeling depression? No. Is it sadness? No. Is it not? It's frustration, but it's anger. You're not throwing things on the floor out of, you know, yeah, it's frustration, but it's frustrated anger. It's screaming. It's saying those words that you promised you would never say. You know, it's anger. Who's the anger at? The anger really comes from a certain type of a gaiva. That I expect things to go well for me. I made a schedule. I made a schedule of my day, and I expect my life to run along according to, without anybody named over here in the anger. But really what it comes from is, I expect the day to run according to the schedule that I set for it. Things are not supposed to run this way. I expected to get a ride. How come I didn't have a ride? And it really all comes down to something. It's a hard avoida. It's a hard avoida, but it's such a sweet avoida if you conquer it. We just could realize that we're not in control of our life. I think that's the first step in chaos. The first step, we're not in control of our life. We are not telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the world, people, how our life is going to be run. It's not. We're pawns over here. Our life is going to... So let's get back to the Stop and Shop now. A person gets to Stop and Shop, and he left his shopping list at home. If a person could have this sweetness of... These things happen. To be able to have that sweetness of character. These things happen. And then the wagon's getting twisted the other way. It's more than that. I'm not making myself so clear. It's more than that. It's more than that I'm not in control. It's like, it's that... I thought my agenda of the day was to do a quick shopping and to run back somewhere else. To run back to yeshiva, to run back home. That's what I thought my agenda of the day was. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a different agenda for me that day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's agenda for me that day was to walk around Stop and Shop and still say hello to everybody, even though my wagon is annoying me. That was his agenda for the day. That was the avodah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up for me that day. And what I'm really doing is, when I'm getting aggravated and annoyed because I want to get back to what I'm doing is I'm saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, could you stop putting your agenda into my life? Can we have my agenda in my life, please? That's really what we're doing. That's what the annoyance is. So when I'm walking in the rain, and I'm starving, and it's raining, and I'm crossing the street back and forth 10 times, and nobody's coming. Oh, and I forgot to mention that as soon as you get to the apartment, 5 cars pull up. Forgot to mention that. Now, when that happens, again... Oh, I forgot about that. Then you go, what happens is you go around over the combination, and as you're going around, then you see the car pull up the other way. That's what happens. And the guy in the car is in the room already relaxing by the time you get upstairs. If a person could tell himself that what happens to me, that's the agenda. This was the plan. Everything's going according to plan. Nothing worked out the way it was supposed to. No, things worked out exactly the way it was supposed to. Today was supposed to be a little bit of a different type of a day. It just sucks the whole frustration away. It was supposed to be this way. Imagine what would happen, Ephraim. Ephraim, it seems to me that Ephraim is an expert on frustrating days. Ephraim, imagine what would happen if you would come to Shacharis one morning, and after Shacharis, as you're taking off your tefillin, you would suddenly have a vision, and you'd see Eliyahu HaNavi coming down from the ceiling, and you'd say, Ephraim, I want to just tell you, it was nigzar on you in Hashemayim today, for whatever reasons, for the tikkun of your neshama, for the future of your children and grandchildren after you, for the tikkun of your gilgulim, it was nigzar on you today that you should walk in the rain for 15 minutes. Let's see that would happen. So you'd go outside after the second stage, it would be raining, you'd be outside, you'd be like, this is the plan. This is the plan. This is what's supposed to happen. I'm supposed to walk in the rain today. That's what Hashem planned for me today. This is what's supposed to happen. This is the plan. We don't need to have a gibbe from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything that happens to us was part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan. There's no if-onlys. I mean, probably not to blow up at the guy who's not his fault. You know, the guy who just happens to be there at the end. You know, we probably not to do that. This Sefer Chaim takes it a step further, and this gets difficult. This part, Ad Khan is very, you know the famous story with, I forgot who it was, one of the big Yidolim who was being done a case, very, very famous story, was being done a case of someone who lost money to somebody, a small amount of money, and the guy Mamish wouldn't give in, no matter what, he wouldn't give in. He was being loichim against the Rav that he passed in against, and he has to give money to his friend. So they were matzmiya, that the same guy, I don't remember the exact details of the story, but the same guy, a couple of weeks before, the Rav told him he has to throw out a whole cow, which is like a life savings, and he just threw it out. No problem. So the answer, they said, is that when it's Ben Adam Lamakim, it's very easy. I'm always a nefesh, I'll throw out the whole cow, everyone will talk about it, it's very nice. But for me to have to give money to you, that I'm not asking to. To lose to someone else is very hard. The same thing is true in this discussion. This is hard enough. They locked out of the car, flat tire. Somebody was by me on Shabbos. He told me that his car, he went to drive some, drove his wife somewhere, his car broke down, he brought it to the mechanic, he got it fixed, he went home, and his wife's car had a flat tire. So he came back, and the mechanic was like, what are you doing back here? Like that type of a day. So that type of a day happens, then it's very easy. At a certain point, and that's the guys that laugh when it happens, at a certain point it's like, you know, like, it's almost funny, like, what does the Rebbe Shlomo have in mind over here? It's almost funny. There must be some plan over here, it's just too funny. It's much harder when a person is someone who's very annoying. It's much harder when the reason I'm getting angry is not because I got locked out of my car, or I got a flat tire, or I had something frustrating, or I left my key inside my room, or something of that sort. Then it's already easy, relatively easy, for me to realize that it's coming off from the Rabbanu Shalom. But what happens when it's an annoying person? And the person's consistently getting on my nerves, and you know what happens. Someone keeps getting on your nerves, especially someone that you spend a lot of time with. Little by little by little, it starts to build up. And soon you're like trying to be nice, ready, like a robot. You're just holding in your anger. And at a certain point, something is just going to spark it off, and you just explode like a fireball at the person who's constantly gnawing away, annoying you. Then it's much harder, but the same thing is true. The same thing is true. Whatever the halacha is with his bechira, I don't want to get now into bechira yediyah, I don't want to get into it, but whatever's going on between him and the Rabbanu Shalom, that's his cheshbon. But in terms of you, it was nigzer on me today, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was misader and arranged on me today that I should be together with this annoying person. That was the gzeira on me. It's much harder. I'd much rather any day get locked out of a car. Just like Rabbi Kalish said it last year. I don't say mamash a true thing. A guy, I'll tell you a mashal, you know, at least the way it would affect me. I don't know if this was his exact mashal. But if a guy, let's say, is in a dormitory and the sink drips. Drip, 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 drip. It makes a nice loud noise, drips. So it goes like this. If the sink is broken and it just drips, so then everyone falls asleep fine. But if somebody didn't close the sink tight enough, then you can't sleep. Because the pressure, there's someone, why didn't you shut the sink? I'm sitting here in bed, and I'm tossing and turning, and the whole night all I hear is drip, drip, drip. But if that's the way it is, or if it's raining outside, a lot of drips at the window, it's fine. Because you're not in control of that anyway, nobody's at fault. The big aside, the people who can't sleep at night, Rabbi Kayla shows that people who can't sleep at night is out of anger, not out of noise. It's out of anger, it's like chutzpah that these people are talking when I'm trying to sleep. But if it would be like beyond his control, like during the day, because he's raya, you know, he has a shtarka raya. His raya is that everybody manages to fall asleep during shir. That's his raya. obviously somebody talking doesn't keep you up. So it must be that the person giving the shiur is allowed to be talking. The person giving the shiur is allowed to be talking. It's different. You're not angry at him, so you can fall asleep. But at night, no one's allowed to be talking. So then you can't fall asleep. And I would suggest that you try. Take a shiur that you fell asleep during, or take a shiur that somebody fell asleep during that shiur, and play that shiur at night, you know, on a tape recorder. Here we have now everything taped. Take it. Play that, not for yourself. Play it when you're annoying the next guy. Play it to your roommate. And the guy's trying to go, say, could you please turn off that shiur? I don't understand. Today you fell asleep listening to the same shiur. It's an amazing thing. No, to the same shiur you fell asleep listening today. It's amazing. There's something about when it's somebody else that makes it so hard. But it's the same avoid. And let's leave that for today. Let's leave that as the first step in trying to avoid chaos. Is the feeling, the to absorb and to try to digest and to realize. And this is something we could do 1,000 times a day. As things happen, this was the plan. It's not like if only all these things wouldn't have happened, then everything would have worked out. This was the gzeirah today. The annoying person, along with the locked door and the dogs and the rain and everything. This was the plan for today. If someone could have in his head that this was the plan, this was the way it was supposed to be, I think it could just take so much chaos away from a person. Okay, we'll stop here. Let's read a little bit more.
Yeah.
Say hey from the top. We just spoke about the Kaisen who, on every little thing that happens negative tzayna, he becomes Malei Chema. The Eish Kaisen Rochik Mized is a Kaisen who's distant from this, not half as bad as this. Who Shalai Al Kol Davar Asher Yivayehu Shalai Kir Tzaynai. And that is someone that not on everything that happens to him against his will, Im Katan Vim Gadu, whether it's small or big, Yivar Apa, he gets angry. Ach Bihigiyoi Lahargish. When he reaches a point to get angry, Yirgaz will get angry, V'yichas, and will become furious, Kas Gadol, tremendous anger. This is the madrega that Chazal call kasha lichos. It's hard to get him angry, but kasha lirtos, but it's also hard to calm him down. Once he gets angry, watch out. This is also terribly bad. Because a terrible, terrible takala could happen to him while he's angry. And after this, he can't be misakin anymore the terrible damage that he caused. What? Takala is like a stumbling block. I have to, I'm going to do something a little bit out of the ordinary now. I just want to point out, just to make the point clear. There's a movie that's based on this paragraph. Anybody know what it is? Anybody? What? What is it? What? The Incredible Hulk, I think. It's based on this, what? When he gets angry, then he's Yirgaz, V'yichas, Kas, Gadol. He doesn't get angry so easily. But if he gets angry, then it's Yirgaz, V'yichas, Kas, Gadol. Why am I bringing this up? We have to bring up in a base measure so some Narish people make a strange movie. The reason I'm bringing it up is because it's just another example of how America, how this country, and how the culture of this country, in ways that are not always so apparent on the surface, is teaching people, embedding in them, indoctrinating them in horrible midas. Because the Incredible Hulk, in my understanding of it, it's an old concept. It's not a new concept. The Incredible Hulk, he's a hero. He's a good guy. Is that right? Is he a good guy or a bad guy? He's a good guy, right? What? He's a good guy. He's a good guy that Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, because he has some kind of mutation or whatever it is, when he gets angry, he's able to display superhuman strength. So thank goodness that he gets angry sometimes. Imagine if he would never get angry, all kinds of terrible things would happen. But Baruch Hashem, he gets angry, Gevaldik, and through his Mida Taiva of anger, he manages to save people and save himself and cause all kinds of good things to happen. It's just an amazing thing. He's considered it's part of the fake world that kids grow up in, but the average American kid is Superman, is the Incredible Hulk. He's one of the superheroes. Right, is that right? I know, I grew up with the Incredible Hulk. He's one of the superheroes. And the whole Indian, the whole thing is mevusas on how good it is to get angry and lose control. It's basically, if you had to say it in short, sorry if it sounds a little, if it deflates the excitement of it a little bit, but basically, it's someone who gets angry and loses control. That's basically what it is. So he has a chemical mutation that makes all kinds of things happen, which is a great muscle for what happens to a person when he gets angry. That much I'll grant. It's a great muscle for what happens to a person when he's angry. Who said you're supposed to channel your kas? You're not supposed to have kas. Kas is ve'etzem ra.
Kas is only bad?
Kas is ve'etzem ra.
But what about if someone's doing whatever the wrong thing and something?
Kanos and kas are two different things. Kanos is kas of kedusha.
Kas is discussed in Achasidikim.
There's such a thing as being misroy kas. There's such a thing as making yourself look angry. You know, a father to his children or Rebbe to Talmidim sometimes has to look angry, look upset. But to feel kas is asur. You know, you ever see a parent, Yitzchak experiences this every night. You ever see a parent that when a kid is kvetching, he says, you say, go to sleep right now. Very angry. Very stern voice. And then you go out and you keep laughing and joking, just like before. You don't get angry. Sometimes you have to be marakas. You have to, just for the kid's well-being, sometimes for the parent's well-being.
I said last time the aspect of different things, Maria Kalimnius.
So why that's not true by Marakas? That's an excellent point, Yochanan. It's an excellent point. The Sefer HaChaim says that the Marakas is usher for someone who has a teva of kas. Someone who be'etzem doesn't have a teva of kas, he could be Marakas. But someone who has a teva of kas, he's not even allowed to be Marakas. He should leave that job to other people.
So
that's a very, very strong point. What? That's not even really. I'm just using it as a muscle. That's not really. Even my kid knows that I'm not really. It's not even.
It's not Marakas.
It's not even really Marakas. I'm bringing this up because it's such a chashuv thing to keep in mind. This is true in this case, but in every, so much of the culture that we grow up in is mevusas on certain like inherent krumkai, and that poor unsuspecting kids should have no idea that they're absorbing bad hashkafas. It's a shrekbacha thing. I once had this horrible experience a couple of years ago where a guy that I knew went into New York for his grandmother's levaya, and he came back in the new car. They came back together. He was getting a new car in his grandmother's levaya. And he came back and all he could talk about was his new car. So excited about his new car. My mom was nauseous. I came home nauseous from it. Your grandmother passed away. It was a Misa. Misa is supposed to give you a certain sense of seriousness. Just for today, your car is not so important. Talk about your car tomorrow. But for today, it's not so important. Somebody died. We have so often that we hear about a tragedy, we hear about a terrible thing that happens or a terrible yisurim that people go through, and we tell ourselves, oh, we don't appreciate it enough, we just get upset about the little things. We don't appreciate it. You get upset about this and about that, someone gets angry at his friend, at his this, at that, and suddenly you feel lucky to have friends, you feel lucky to be normal, you feel lucky to be healthy, when you find out about yisurim that other people go through. It's not enough that when we hear about Yisurim that people go through, that then we should appreciate our life. That's not enough. That even a shaita can do that. It's like the Ramban that we mentioned a few weeks ago. The Ramban by Paroi. It says that when the Barot came, so Paroi said, please get rid of the Barot. Please make it go away. So Moshe said, I'm going to make the Barot go away. Vani odati, Moshe says, and I know, ki terem tirun mifnei Hashem Elokim. And the Ramban teaches that pasuk, terem tirun mifnei Hashem Elokim, means that before the Bora goes away, then you have Yirah Shemayim. Ki terem, before the Makkah goes away, then tirun mifnei Hashem Elokim, then you have Yirah Shemayim. It's very easy to have Yirah Shemayim while the Bora is falling. It's very easy to realize that Gashmius is not so important when you're sitting in Nebuch in front of a sick person. Then it's very easy. Then the Bora is falling now. Then if you can't see it, then there's mamish something wrong. But we have to ask ourselves to take it a step further. And that's what the Madrega that we have to demand, that a Ben Tayyar has to demand of himself, that even after he walks away from a sick person, even after he walks out from a Levaya, even after the Borot's not falling anymore, he still remembers that Gashmius is not so important. He still remembers that he has the important things in life, the main things in life. It's an amazing thing. The perspective is amazing. Perspective is mamish amazing. Just imagine what would be if you'd be in a situation where things are difficult. Say this, and I'm gonna say it. It's common many times, many families, that when they're getting ready for Shabbos, they're getting ready for Yom Tov, and things happen. Things get very, very stressful sometimes. Things aren't gonna be ready in time. Things are this, that. The company's coming, mamish, and people can push and get on each other's nerves. As anybody knows, you know, when things are flying before Shabbos, things. Nerves sometimes are strained. We had an experience in my family. We had an experience that mamish changed our Friday in our family, and that was. And I'm sure many people experience the same thing in different ways. But the Friday that we found out about Shai Twersky's Patira, so we found out the first Seder in the morning, and then I went home. We had to make Shabbos. Everyone remembers. We had to make Shabbos, and we had to do shopping and getting and cooking and everything. We had to make Shabbos. It was a very quiet Friday in the house. Very quiet. It was very easy going. If the challen burned, nobody got upset. If the food wasn't ready, nobody got upset. If the laundry wasn't done, nobody got upset. It was very calm. Very, very, very calm. Because somehow when you're faced with something that's much, much, much bigger, exponentially bigger, suddenly nothing is important. Nothing is important. Yeah, there is hot water, there's no hot water. It all took on a certain level of silliness. It almost was silly. It became silly. Anybody remembers that Friday if they had hot water or not? You know, it was unimportant. Unimportant. And after that Friday, I was talking to my wife over Shabbos. So we made a Kabbalah on ourselves. But that's the way it's going to be, Erev Shabbos, from now on. That's the way it's going to be. No tension, it's going to be calm. We don't need a tzara to teach us to be calm. It's embarrassing that we needed it to begin with. You don't need a tzara to teach you that things should be calm. Sometimes we have to be able to take that as tzairus. It's not a milah that Friday things are calm. That's while the borot is falling. So if my kids spilled something all over the floor right after I mopped the floor, so if I
didn't get angry that day. That's not a mila. My mind was elsewhere. I realized there are more important things in life. But we have to be able to learn from things like that, and things, Baruch Hashem, things not as drastic, and things not as difficult. We have to be able to learn what's important in life. And a beautiful suit is very, very nice. It's not important. And a beautiful car is very, very nice. It's not important. And a sophisticated cell phone is very, very exciting. It's not important. And so on and so on. And all the things that are so, and being first in the first game in the gym, Matzah Shabbos, is very, very, very exciting. It's not important. And all the other things that we get uptight about and we get upset about, and getting to the chasen in time to get the best food off the shmorg is very, very geschmack, but it's not so important. It's just not so important. And I'm not saying not to enjoy it. You know, you've been here long enough to know that I'm the last person to say not to enjoy these things. We should enjoy a geschmack, a cell phone. We should enjoy a good suit. And we should enjoy good food. And we should enjoy a nice car. We should enjoy it. Definitely, we should enjoy it. Hashem gave us something and we should enjoy it. Hashem gives us things so that we should enjoy it. We should enjoy it. But at the same time that we're enjoying it, we have to teach ourselves, it's enjoyable. It's not so important. And if we could just teach ourselves that it's not so important, so much anger will just like a balloon deflating. So much less anger. So much less anger. Think about the things that people get, unfortunately, the things that people get upset about, the things that people fight about, the things that people get angry at each other about. People sometimes don't talk to each other for weeks because of things that, like, it's just not so important. I know more than one person that was upset at somebody else that Friday from beforehand, and people just made up. Oh, a lot of machleksim were just made up. I don't know how much of them is aware. There's certain machleksim that were just like melted away then. Like suddenly you realize, again, why was I upset? Why was I holding a grudge? Why was I angry? Why? It's just not important. Not important. The geschmack of Olam Hazeh, we should enjoy it, but it shouldn't be so important to us. And the mele losing it shouldn't be so terrible to us. And it's amazing, imagine, sometimes it's funny, like when you're talking about a terrible tragedy, what I'm about to say seems childish. But anybody who's experienced something like example I'm about to give, knows that it's not so childish. Imagine you're planning to go up, let's say, I'll just take Waterbury for example, you're planning on going up, there's some beautiful, beautiful parks, and you go up to 84, and you're planning on making a barbecue. So you tell one guy to bring a grill, another guy to bring coals, and another guy to bring steaks, and another guy should bring barbecue sauce, and so on. Everyone has their thing that they should bring, and everyone drives up, a bunch of guys drive up, music, a guitar, whatever it is, and drive up to the top of a mountain, and mamish, on sunset, we're going to have a geschmack of barbecue. Sounds geschmack? Sounds geschmack. To me, it sounds geschmack. And you start setting up everything, and you tell the guy, okay, fine, so where's the coals? It's like, I can't believe I forgot to bring the coals. So you have the raw meat, and you have the barbecue sauce, and onions, and all kinds of stuff, and the potatoes, everything all ready, but there's no coals, there's no barbecue, and you're in the middle of nowhere. It's natural, unfortunately, to kill that guy. To kill him. He messed up a good day. He messed up a good day. It's all his fault. You can just imagine the poor guy running for his life. You just imagine. Kill the guy. But, it's almost funny to even say this story next to the stories we were just talking about. It's like, so what happened? So you didn't have a barbecue. So what happened? Do something else. It's not so important. Not so important. Some people who have experience with situations in life that are very, very drastic and difficult, I'm sure anyone who has had such experiences, I'm sure knows the feeling of coming back. The Camp Simcha Chevra for sure understands this idea of sitting by somebody, even during the year, sitting by someone who's deathly ill, and then going somewhere else. You can tell me if I'm wrong. Going somewhere else and hearing someone kvetch about something, I just want to punch the guy. what are you kvetching about? What do you know that there are people that will feel happy if they can take a breath without feeling pain? Do you know that there are people, and you almost feel angry, but these people who don't, then we have to ask ourselves what we're like if we spend a few weeks not coming face to face with difficulties in life. It's a funny thing to bring up when we're talking about kas, but Rabbi Nagin says, this is mamash a shayrish in kas, to teach ourselves that these things are just not important. They're just not important. So that's why you can have a Rabbi Kalish gets a brand new van, and someone dents it a few days later. I don't know who it was or what the story was, but someone dents it a few days later, and he's like, okay, better luck next time. That's why you can have a person like that. Because he wasn't so excited to begin with when he drove the van the first time. Because he wasn't enjoying it so much to begin with. It wasn't the most important thing. It wasn't when he called his family that night to say what happened that day, that he got a new van. It was not the top of his list. It was not the most important thing. So then when somebody damaged it, no. It was damaged. So what? Baruch Hashem, nobody was hurt, you know, and so on and so forth. We have to remember that it's not. I think sometimes we fall into a fantasy of telling ourselves that things will be good. I don't have to teach myself that. I don't have to teach myself that Olam Hazeh is not important. I'm set up in life. I have a car. I have a this. I have a that. I have clothing. I don't have to teach myself that it's not important because I have it. If I didn't have it, then I would have to teach myself that it's not important. But I have it. But in the end, it says it's not true. Ki ha'olam rabu yigoy noiso. There's always going to be aggravations. There's always going to be aggravations. And it's kedai when we're young to teach ourselves that these things are just not so... There are more important things in life. And not just while the barad is falling, but even after the barad finishes falling, to remember, it's just not so important. It's kishmak, it's not so important.